pray for 10, 15 minutes.
Hi, everyone. I'm Kelsey, and I'm an alcoholic. I am really nervous. Like, there's like bomb right here, like that kind of nervous. I'm just going to jump right into it. So my sobriety date is January 9th, 2015. I have a sponsor. I sponsor other women. And my home group is the Fourth Dimension in Newport Richey, Florida. I had a really rough upbringing. I was born and raised in Palm Harbor, Florida. I had very loving and supportive parents. It was really awful, like traumatizing. And not a cloud on the horizon in my childhood, basically. I do know that when I was a kid, my mom got me a nanny. And this woman was from New York with her three kids and her husband, and they were from New York. They were just like super Italian. And my mom and dad got a bad divorce. So when I went to my mom's house, you know, she was sad and serial dating, and my dad got remarried immediately. So like I didn't fit in at either place. But when I went to my nanny's, her name's Christine, when I went to her house, they were just like loud and eating and loving and hugging and laughing. And, you know, like her three kids had these, like each stocking was a Ninja Turtle. And I was like the fourth Ninja Turtle after 1 year. I think I was Donatello or something. And I loved being there. I was part of that family. They taught me how to ride a bike. They taught me how to swim. I did karate. They taught me how to curse. They taught me how to like listen to gangster rap. They taught me how to play Nintendo. Like, I was just like their baby. And so when I was 12, my mom called me. I was at my dad's house, and she said, Christine has really bad cancer, and she's gonna pass away soon. And I don't think it was even 6 months later that I was at my aunt's house, Christine's sister, and I was watching this shell of a beautiful human pass away in front of me. And when she died, I remember that was the absolute moment that I looked at God and I said, why? And I hated God after that. He took away my normal. He took away my love, because that family dissipated after. She was like the most, she would walk into a room and just, you could feel her love. And once that love was gone, everybody felt the loss of it. And that's when I started to numb the pain. My dad loved sweet tea, so we got a lot of Percocets because of those kidney stones that sweet tea causes. So I started, like, you know, eating those. My dad was the alcoholic without the alcohol. He never drank, but he had every symptom of alcoholism. So I would be like stealing his Benson and Hedges, like Marlboro or menthols, and his Busch Lights, and running down into this like dried retention pond near our house and like drinking and smoking, and you know. Like, but I needed an effect produced immediately. There was that hole that I needed to fill. And I think that we all have that common problem here, is that like we drink, and once it touches our mouth, we lose the choice in how far we take it. Our lives are unmanageable. We have that obsession. We have daddy issues. I'm just kidding, that's just me. But you know, like my life spiraled out of control. I did a lot of rehabs, a lot of detoxes in and out, a lot of environmental changes. My mom was such a cheerleader. She's like, you just need to like go get some air in Dade City on the farm at your stepdad's house. And I'm like, okay. And you know, my stepbrother was there, and that was a bad, bad choice. And then my stepbrother comes home, he's like, I'm moving to Key West. I said, me too, that's a great place to start your life over in a positive manner. So we moved down there, and I'm working, and this girl goes, hey, because it's a melting pot down there. There's people from all around the world. And she goes, my friend needs a wife to get him into the country. And I was like, no, okay, let me meet him. Let me think about it. So we met for dinner on Saturday night. And Tuesday I was getting married to Vadim, and my last name was Terenyenka. And, you know, like I just made these fly by the seat of your pants decisions, anything that I could to stay away from myself. I was always on the move, always on the go. I couldn't sit alone with myself, with my mind. Like, I would rather scrape my skin off my body than have to sit alone and listen to my own self. 10 minutes? Wow, great, okay. And, you know, So I was always moving. I was always changing. I was always trying to change what I put in my body. Maybe that'll work. Maybe I can maintain that. Maybe I will stop drinking straight tequila and go to wine. And maybe I'll, you know, like whatever it was that I could do, I was always trying to beat the system. I was always trying to find a way to drink successfully with, like, the way I see others do with impunity. And I never succeeded. I only got worse because that insidious insanity happens. And then all of the harm you cause every time you try, I crammed it down and just drank worse and worse because of it. And I could not stop no matter what. And I finally ended up back in Dade City. I ended up in a detox, and I found Bubba, and Bubba had some of his teeth, and he was sometimes employed, and I loved him. And we spent 5 days in detox bliss eating frozen cranberry juice and peanut butter sandwiches, and then I moved in with him in Plant City. And what I didn't know at the time, because I was so in this whirlwind romance, was that he had a wife and 2 children, and his wife was in end stages of breast cancer. And we had a house. It was actually a nice house. We had 3 cars. We had his truck, his SUV, and then my little 1985 Datsun pickup 5-speed. It was super gross. And within 2 weeks' time, he crashed both of his cars, and we were down to the Datsun. And he got arrested and went to jail, and his wife came in and kicked me out. I don't know why. Rude. And so I went back to Dade City, and he would come see me in my truck to and from Plant City, and one night he was on his way home, and I got a call from his wife the next morning that he had crashed my car into a tree and died. And the next question she said is, do you have his quilt? His grandmother made him a quilt that he took everywhere with him, and I did have it, and I told her no. And I lied to her. And it was basically like that, just the same thing. Moving, trying, failing, and then I finally got arrested. And they're like, well, ma'am, you need to go to drug court. And I was like, at least it's not drink court, so I guess I can still drink. And that's what I did. I couldn't stay sober. I could not draw a sober breath. I would go see my probation officer drunk, and she's like, you have a problem. And I'm like, I do not. And she's like, you failed this breathalyzer. She's like, you shouldn't drive home. I should, like, violate you right now. She's like, but you need help. And December 26, 2014, I invited my little brother over to go bowling, and I don't remember getting to the bowling alley. I don't remember what happened at the bowling alley. I don't know how I got home, but I do know I woke up, and at this time my stepdad was nice enough to let me live on the other house on the farm, and it was like this condemnable farmhouse, and I had lots of friends. I had spiders, I had rats, I had bats, I had mold, I had snakes and more spiders and roaches, and I was living on this ratty futon mattress on a plywood floor, and literally I woke up and I was absolutely alone. I had pushed everybody out of my life. I was bloated. My eyebrows had turned white. I felt like I was cooking from the inside out, and I would shake like this every morning, and all I could think of was getting another drink. And that one morning, for some reason, I woke up and looked around me, and I was like, I'm gonna die alone in this house, and people are probably gonna be relieved if I don't do something. So I called my probation officer. I said, I think I have a problem. And she goes, oh, you do? And she put me in jail. And I spent 2 weeks in jail, and this woman from a halfway house came and picked me up. And for the first 2 months in that halfway house, all I did was ugly cry. I felt shame, remorse, guilt. I hated myself. I was back at that point where I had to sit with myself, and I would rather just skin myself alive, but I had no solution. The alcohol was taken away, so I was uber crazy, and I was uber miserable. And everybody in this week of the meetings was talking about the ninth step. Oh my gosh, my family's back, my friends are back, I made all these amends, you know, my life is so great. And I just wanted to, like, scream in everybody's faces, like, shut up, because you don't see how miserable I am. Like, I was done. And so I finally raised my hand for the first time, and I said, I'm Kelsey, I'm an alcoholic, and I hate myself, and I don't know what to do about it anymore. And this girl came up to me afterwards and asked if I had a sponsor, and I just started crying, and I said no. And I proceeded to go through the steps with that woman like I was going to die if I didn't. I took all her suggestions. I admitted I was powerless. I was open-minded to a God of my conception, not the one that took Christine away from me, a whole new conception of God. I did my fourth step. I got through those things. I reached down into my soul and told her every little thing about me on my fifth step. I recognized those character defects, and I still work on those today and pray them away because I'm fucking crazy. And, you know, then I get to the eighth and the ninth step, and I make that. And I made all of my immediate amends, all of them. I pounded pavement with it. And it took me 5 years of sobriety to reach, because I washed and folded and put it in Tupperware. I carried that quilt around like a quilt of shame with me for years. Just a reminder of what I did. And I got a hold of April and I said, I have your quilt. Can I come meet you? And she said, sure. And I was expecting a punch in the face or like you sack of garbage or whatever, whatever she wanted to do. And she hugged me and she said, I'm so glad that you're okay. I am so glad to see that you have gotten over this. And I gave her that quilt and we talked for an hour and a half. And it was so beautiful. And if that isn't God working in my life today and this program working in my life today, I don't know what is. And then I get to sponsor other women. I get to review my days today and try to do better tomorrow. And I get to be a part of this program. I get to pack into the stream of life today and not take out of it. I have had children in recovery. I have been to funerals, weddings, baby showers, you name it. I had 200 people at my wedding and over 150 of them were AAs. 150. I've had my friends are godparents to my children today. I have my stepson 100% of the time today because we get to be a part of those things and suit up and show up. I have a beautiful relationship with my parents. I have all of these things today because of Alcoholics Anonymous. I've gone through my husband relapsing. I have gone through losing, you know, like miscarriages. I've gotten through all these horrible life things, horrible postpartum depression in one piece because of AA. And, you know, life still happens, but I don't have to pick up a drink about it. I don't have to obsess over it anymore. I don't have to try to control it anymore because I have a higher power today that gets me through these things. I have a program of friends and family among me that get me through these things. If I put the work in, this is what I get out of it, and it is so beautiful today. Because 7.5 short years ago, I was alone in a crappy farmhouse in Dade City, just hoping to die. And I'm grateful to be here. I took a horrible detour. I was supposed to be here like 20 minutes before, but I went on the Courtney Campbell or something. Things happen. And Tampa terrifies me, and I've been obsessing about this all day, but I'm so glad to be here. And thank you for inviting me, and thank you for having me.